helpful.
KB4CBA, W4DJW.
Hey, David, KB4CBA, how you doing?
Hey, I got my HF antenna hooked back up again today, so I'm doing pretty good. And I've been out flying with the dog, out in the yard. Out in the yard flying multirotors.
The dog was helping you fly, but I'm glad you clarified that. Well, good for you. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's just a slight breeze. I've been out on the tennis court, and so I'm headed back to the house, I think. I really don't know where I am. I'm headed right into the sun, so I must be going the right direction.
Would you make any headway with your airplane yet? Have you done anything to it, or have you been over to David's place over in Pickens easily?
The connection or whatever it is on 123.
Yeah, that's the one. He's got a lot of, he's probably got the best supplies the closest in. I think anybody, if you can get better than him, you either have to, and I don't know about Hendersonville if they still have a hobby shop up there. It's either Hendersonville or Atlanta one to get anything better than what he's got.
Well, those controllers were really outdated. Did they have to be crystal controlled, or am I going to have to? I was hoping maybe I could change a crystal in one of them to match the frequency of the receiver on the airplane.
So the deal with those is that they are the old 72 megahertz radios, and they don't do spread spectrum. Today, anything you buy now, new, is going to be up 2.4 gigahertz, and it's going to be spread spectrum, which means it takes up a channel that's on the band. I mean, a lot, it's kind of like Wi-Fi. A lot of one channel in the band gets a lot of frequencies in the band from one end of the band to the other. And so if any one of those frequencies isn't working right, it just relies on the others, and it's changing millions of times per second, all right? So today's RC radios are almost flawless. Like they don't disconnect from the radio, from the airplane at all. But those that you have, 72 megahertz, they're on one frequency and one frequency only. And they probably send out signals hundreds of times per second. But they do get jammed up. A lot of different things can jam them up. So they are from the date and time when things were much less dependable than they are now. And you used to just have random, unexplained crashes because something got to that one frequency. Like you're listening on, sometimes you're listening on HF and you hear bogeys, right? And they can last for several seconds. Several seconds like that when you're flying an RC plane can be the difference between success and failure.
Encouraging. I just want to talk to you every day.
Well, I don't want you to be misled. That's the way it used to be. Those are old. Those are really old. And that was life. I had many of them that I was competing with. And in the competition, they would just go down. And you just lived with that. You just knew that that was a possibility. Nowadays, doesn't happen.
So I just need to buy a new controller and a new, what do you call those things? Anyway, the things in the airplane that move the whatever it's hooked up to. I only need, let's see, one moves the ailerons, one does the rudder, one does the stabilizer. And one does the throttle. So I only need a four channel.
So you need, those are servos. You need the receiver that goes with the transmitter, right? That is most likely going to be 2.4 gigahertz and spread spectrum. And you need the battery to drive all of that. And you need the four servos, the receiver, the battery drive, all that, and the on-off switch, the wiring harness, so that you can put a switch in the side so you can turn it on and off without, like, having to take the wing on and off to turn it on and off.
On-off switch on the side. I'm hoping I can use that one. And I also need a charger.
For both batteries, the battery in the transmitter and the battery that is in the airplane for the receiver. And most of the time when you buy a radio, that's what you get. You get two or three servos. It's a three or four channel. You know, they don't make very many three channels more nowadays. It's more like 4 to 8 to 12 channels, right? Or a six channel or something like that. And you get a quantity of servos, your flight pack is your battery, your receiver, and your wiring harness. That includes an on-off switch. And your chargers come with that as well. Or a charger that has two pigtails, one for the receiver and one for the transmitter.
I wind up paying about four times what I pay for this airplane for a stupid transmitter and the servos and all that other junk.
Well, for the price you've got in it, you pay for the airframe and everything else is free, right? But you do need, like, a glow plug for the engine, a fuel tank, because the silicone on those fuel tanks and the brass inside of them and the oxidation on the brass, the green oxidation on the brass that gets in the fuel line will cause a problem, right, when you start running it, and it won't be dependable running. And then you'll probably need a few props because you're going to break a few props. You break those. I mean, that's just the price of doing flying airplanes. Flying airplanes cost money. You got to buy fuel, too. That's right.
And how long will that last?
The question is, how old is it? How long has it been sitting? I mean, you can try it. If it's 4, 5, 6 years old, something like that, it might work. If it's more like 10 or 11, 12 years old, it's probably not going to work.
Will it smell funny or something if it's bad gas?
No, it'll just it'll run just at a reduced power, and it might just cause a whole lot of oil residue on the side of the plane. It'll probably work. It might be hard to run. It might not stay running consistently. It could just cause problems, is all. If it's bad, like bad gas in a car or a motorcycle, same thing.
Well, I'll light a match to it and see what happens.
Well, you got the air. I mean, for what you paid for it, an airframe usually costs you about that much. So the rest of everything you got is free. The transmitter, you know, it's old. It will work. I mean, if you want to risk it, it will work. People risked using those for years, and they worked pretty good for years on end. So it's not like you have to go to something new. I'm just saying, I'm just making sure you're fully aware.
Poor CPA. Well, yeah, I know. It'd be my luck. Something would interfere with the first time I tried to fly it, and it crashed and break all to pieces. I tell you. I don't know. And I was told by one guy, I can't remember who I was talking to, he said that I needed to learn on a train or plane before I tried to fly that one.
Well, that is a high wing, and high wings are inherently more stable than low wings. And it does have a lot of surface area on the wing. The only thing you need to do is take it up, you know, get somebody to go up with you. I can go up with you, somebody to go up with you, and see what its glide slope is and see if it has to land hot. If it has to land hot, he's probably completely correct, right? Landing hot is really easy to do after you've landed a few hundred or a few thousand times. It's really easy to do. Landing hot, you just add a little bit of throttle. But if you have to land hot and you just want to slam the throttle all the way down and come in and land, and your chances of crashing are pretty high, because you got it likes a little bit of prop spinning to pull it across the runway, and then right when you get to where you want to touch down, your wheels are about an inch or two off the ground. That's when you cut the throttle, instead of like airplanes that don't land hot. You cut the throttle when they're 40 feet up in the air. I've cut the throttle when they're 1,000 feet up in the air and just point the nose straight at the ground and come around and land. So it just depends on how docile, how light the wing loading is, as to whether you can do things like that or not.
Yeah, and the gas tank's right behind the engine, so, but it is, it's balanced. I mean, I can pick it up by the middle of the wing and on each side, and it's balanced. So, but that's with the fuel tank empty. Now with it full, I'd probably have to hold it at the front tip of the wing to for it to be balanced.
So I was doing the math. 4 foot wingspan, 1 foot cord, right? 4 feet by 1 foot aspect ratio is 576 square inches. And if you're flying an airplane that has that much wing area and your airplane is between 3 and 4 pounds, your wing loading is divided by 30. By 30, 19, like 19.2 is your number of square inches. Now that's the wing loading. You take a number like that, and then you take how much your airplane weighs and how many square inches it's got, and you compare to that. And if your wing loading is like double that, then it's going to be twice as bad. If it's close to that, then it's going to be pretty good. Do you know how much it weighs and how many square inches it has?
No, I don't. And I just got the evil eye from the wife, so let me run out. I bought supper, and she came out and got it out of the car while I was talking to you. And so if looks could kill, I'd be dead. So let me run. I'll talk to you about it later today. Thanks for the info there. I got some stuff I need to mull over and figure out what I want to do. All right, I'll talk to you later. 73 KB4CBA.
All right, David. Good talking to you. I hope I didn't get you in trouble. KB4CBA, W4DJW, clear and listening.